We're going to talk about something. This isn't, you might look at the clock and say, oh man, this isn't a long sermon. It's extremely impactful, though. Who here in your life would say, I need guidance? Thanks for being honest. Who could look back in your life and you think of a time to where you just didn't know what you were going to do? Life didn't make sense. Have you ever been in a place to where you couldn't figure it out yourself? We need guidance. And so we're talking about the power of habits, and we want to talk about just guidance. Who guides us? Who do we allow in our life to really help us go in a direction that's the right direction? So I'm driving. I knew what I was going to be speaking about, but God just gives me all these different things to help me map out, God, how do you want this message to be presented? And so I'm driving, and the radio comes on. Who listens to, I think it's 107? The morning show, and Jen is one of the voices that you'll hear. What's her partner's name? I just forgot. Taylor, yeah. He's a riot. And so, but this was a serious moment, and they'll have a Christian counselor come on often on, and they'll talk about it. And so I flicked it on right as this counselor is talking. And the counselor, she says, you know, there are times when people go through things in life that just surprise them, and they just don't know what to do. And she named one. You know, she goes, I just talked to someone who had lost a spouse, and this spouse took care of all the finances, and they were just lost. I mean, they had to deal with the loss, but now they don't know where's the passwords and where's this, and they just needed guidance. And so they came to me, we sat down, and she goes, I was just able to help them map out, okay, now this is things that you need to be done. I think this is who could help you do them. And she said it made all the difference in this person's world, because right now their world was just falling apart. You see, we need guidance. We need help. We need to know what direction we're going in. I've done so many funerals where I sat down, and sometimes I'm right there when the person's passing away, and it's crazy. Many of you will have been through this, but the second that someone passes away, if you are a family member that's in charge, you have a whole lot to do right then. That doesn't always give time for mourning. You have to get a hold of the funeral home, and there's plans that have to be made. Then you have to get a hold of the pastor. And so I've watched people just like, they just need to like bawl for a while, but they have all these things to do. And I've watched funeral homes work with them. I've watched me work with them. We just kind of help, hey, you know what? Let's get this accomplished. Now let's sit down and let's really get into our feelings, and let's talk and pray and cry about this together. And so there are so many issues in life, and not just the depressing issues. Anyone ever bought a car? Yeah. I had a call the other day, I'll tell you, Nicole, but I get a text from Nicole, they're looking for a car. And she goes, hey, would you look at this ad? And so it's a cheap car, we can afford it, but I read something in the ad that concerned me. If you ever read an ad where it says car is perfectly fine, all it needs is just to change the transmission fluid, then it'll run like new. That's all it needs. Why would you need to change transmission fluid? Tranny's slipping. It's going out. You're talking $3,000 to $5,000 right there for a $1,400 car. See, so by her saying, hey, would you look at this? Someone who has an idea mechanically, that's guidance. That could save you from making a mistake. We all need that. So I looked up, I just like to look up definitions of guidance, and it gave your basic, you know, to be led in the right direction, all this. But there was a definition that steered me in a direction that has to do with how you're going to receive the message today. And it talked about a guided missile. And it just struck me. So I'm going to ask you this. What is the purpose of a guided missile? It's to hit the target. And we're not going beyond there. We're not going to blow each other up. We just want to hit the target right now. A guided missile has a purpose. And some missiles have sensors. Some have heat sensors. I was kind of reading on missiles because I want to understand. But they have ways that guide that missile to hit the target. And so what we have to think about when we think of guidance in life, there's so many things in life. There's so many questions. There's so many directions that we have to go. We have to hit the target. So in our lives, it's a fair question to say, right now where you're at, what target are you trying to hit? Let me ask just a few questions, a couple things that popped in my mind. You can probably add to it. What is your target? Is it financial security? If your target is financial security, you're probably one who has different accounts, different things to do with your money. You probably have a budget set. You're probably looking at retirement well before you retire. And there's nothing, I'm not putting that down. That's a good target, financial security, so that you can get to a place to where, hey, you're not worried, you're taken care of. I'm getting closer to retirement age. Trust me, you pay more attention to that stuff. Maybe your target is just to be appreciated. The older I get, I'm not trying to be prideful here, but I'm telling you, God has put some wisdom, and I can watch people. I love the fact I'm bivocational. You're visiting. I work at Anderson Erickson Dairy. I've been a mechanic and welder there for over 31 years, and I get to watch people. And more than anything, I see people who want to be appreciated. And that comes out in some dangerous ways at sometimes. Comes out some volatile ways at times, but people just want to be appreciated for who they are. Maybe that's your target. Maybe that's why you do things that you do, just to, hey, look at me for a moment here. Appreciate me. I'm worth something. Maybe you just want to be happy. Anybody, you just want joy in your life. I do. And so are you doing things on purpose that will try to bring you joy? What if, and this is a true story, a friend of mine just told me it, a buddy of his bought a side-by-side. Anyone know what that is? It's like a fun off-road vehicle. But nowadays, they have shocks and huge wheels, and they can do jumps and trails, and they're a blast. But they are making side-by-sides that are out of this world and even street legal. So he said, my buddy, going through midlife crisis, where he buys this side-by-side. Guess how much money he bought a side-by-side? $38,000 side-by-side. He's had that thing for about 6 months. Then he had to buy a little outdoor storage unit to park it in. Guess how often he's used that side-by-side in 6 months? Twice. Now, let's say this person had some guidance. This is what guidance looks like. He comes to a mentor and says, you know what? I work hard. I just want to play. I just need some time to myself. I love off-roading. Man, there's this side-by-side. It's everything I could ever want. It's $38,000. Guess what a wise mentor would do? They wouldn't just say, yes, buy it. No, don't. They would say, well, let's take a look at your life. So you say you're busy. So how much time is your business going to go away because you bought this? So how much time do you have to set aside? Okay, let's write that down. You have this much time to set aside. Now let's look at that portion side by side. Let's look at the different prices of new and used. Okay, because of this amount of time, because you still have your life, your job, your family, now how much time would you have to put into this? Now let's look at your family. Is there anything that's kind of missing? Is there time that should be put in different directions? Let's take a look at our priorities. Because, yes, you do need fun in your priorities. You need to let your hair down, but you also have these other priorities. See, a guide would have walked him through this. And then when you're said and done, okay, now here's my advice to you based on everything we've taken a look at. And then that person has to make a decision. They can make a good guided decision, or they can make a spur-of-the-moment decision and have a payment of something that sits there and they do nothing with. See, guidance is extremely, extremely important, but so often we just go off and buy the side-by-side. So when you look at these things, I just wrote some financial security, to be appreciated, personal happiness, but then I said, to be a light for Christ. Now, if that's your target, and we get that right, the other things can fall in place. You can find appreciation, because you now understand who you are in Christ. You can find joy because there's more than living a life and just having things. You can find financial security because even within the Word of God, I mean, there is so many statutes and laws and things that just talk about being a great steward with what you have. So if our target really is to be a light for Christ, now we know what we're aiming for. So if you're looking for guidance, and that's our target. And maybe you say right now, you know what, that isn't my main target. Well, you're human, don't feel bad. But that's sometimes what this is for. Let's take a good look at our lives. What is our main target? What is our main focus? What do we want God really to use us for? And if it's spreading the light of Jesus Christ, that may change the direction that we want to go. That may guide us in a different direction. And so listen to this. I was reading, it was one verse, but then I backed up, and I want to read Psalms. It's 119. This is the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalms 119. But we're going to read verses 97 to 105. And what's unique about this, theologians aren't exactly sure who wrote the chapter in Psalms. But there are three educated guesses. King David, Daniel, the Daniel of the lion's den, and Ezra, a prophet, a priest. And so all three of these, if you studied their lives at all, they've all gone through tremendous amounts of persecution because they stood for God. Daniel himself was thrown into the lion's den because he was praying in an open place where he could be seen to God. It was a trick, and I'm not going to get on that whole story, but he was, David, I could tell all kinds of stories about David. Saul tried to kill him before he was king, after he was king, his son tried to take over the kingdomship. I mean, he had all kinds of things come up. So this is being written from someone who has a strong faith and belief in God and yet has been very much a part of the world. So listen to this. I want to break it down with this. Oh, how I love your instruction. I think about them all day. Your instructions, excuse me. I think about them all day. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. So what we have, even in the Old Testament, they had some writings and scrolls, but we have the completed version of the Word of God here. And so the author is saying how he loves it, but listen to how he notices the people that has been put in his life versus God as his actual guide. I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. So this isn't necessarily arrogance, but right now he has people that have been placed in his life to teach him, but he's noticing in following God's word, he actually has more wisdom and more insight than worldly knowledge. It goes on to say, I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commands. So there are people in his life that are older than him, and you're supposed to respect your elders, but haven't walked exactly in. And these are people that maybe have a faith in God, but haven't walked in complete obedience to God. And the author is seeing toward, because he has, that God, you have given me this wisdom that goes beyond age. I mean, age brings wisdom, I agree with that, or brings knowledge. But because I've walked in your decrees, I see where your wisdom has even taken me beyond that. I'm wiser than my elders, for I've kept your commands. I have refused to walk on any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. So what is he using as his guide? It's the word of God. That is it. His guide. And so he's had teachers, he's had elders, people that can mean something to us, that should. But have you ever really loved someone, but there's something about their direction that wasn't good and you felt it in your heart? Do you go that direction anyway because you respect their eldership? No. It was this word. Anything that deterred from this word, the author says, I can't go in that direction. I have to stay true. Whether it's a teacher, someone I respect and love, whether it's an elder, I have to stay. This has to be my guide. So if we take a look at our lives, I would say, examine ourselves. Matt, examine you. Examine yourselves. Is there anything in our lives that would say, hey, this walks away from the word. It's not acting out of obedience. And if so, you know, our target's here, and we can see it, but we're kind of going like this. But if we're going to redirect and get back towards the target, what do we have to do? We have to realize those things and then begin to make corrections where our life walks out of obedience to God's word. It goes on, I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet, we talked about happiness earlier, how sweet your words taste to me. See, this isn't a bummer to live in this. The world sometimes think, man, you can go, whatever you want to do, you can do. There's no regulations on you. You make your decisions. You can live that way, But you're going to taste a lot of bitterness. And you're going to leave a lot of people in your wake. And you're going to direct yourself and a lot of people off of a lot of cliffs. Because we were not designed to know how to lead ourselves. We're designed by a creator that we're supposed to follow. Your commands give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your word, listen to this, is a lamp unto my feet. I went off of a definition. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet, a light for my path. This is a guide. So as we're looking to aim our target, God's word has to be a part. I'm just going to say daily life. Anyone eat daily? Why? Why don't you skip a few days? What's the deal? Save money. Am I right? No, you need nourishment in order to have your energy and to keep on going. The word of God, spiritual, isn't any different. You just don't always get physically hungry when you're spiritually starving. We need the word of God, and we need to walk in obedience to it. And then, I won't spend a lot of time on this because I spoke on it already, but prayer, when I talked about solitude, prayer is that time with God where you're seeking Him, you're talking to Him, and then you stop and you're listening. So we need the word. We need prayer. So think about this. I asked you early, does anyone need guidance? Did anything in particular, you don't have to answer me, but answer yourselves. Did anything particular stick out? Maybe it was a situation, situations. If anything stuck out, let me ask you this. Have you sought the word of God about that? And have you prayed about it? How often does the Bible say to pray? Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. He wants a constant, now, I'm not saying, we have to take that, you know, don't go crazy. Shut your eyes when you're driving, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I just pray because you said without ceasing, bam. I mean, that's going to, use your head. But be in an attitude of prayer in situations of life. Something's going great, praise God, thank you. Something needs help, Lord God, would you be with this? How many times are we on our knees when we need guidance versus, yeah, dad, mom, friend, honey, what do I do here? How many times, God, what do I do here? And sometimes it's hard because you're thinking, no, I need an answer, Matt. No pie in the sky. I have an actual problem. I'm telling you, learn to listen to God. So we talked about solitude. Lay your request at His feet and then just, I've been doing this more than ever because I preached on it. I don't want to be a hypocrite, but in my morning time with God, I read and I just set my Bible down and I just sit there. And sometimes I have to get all the goofiness out of my head because my attention span is about that long and it goes all over the place. But then I just redirect and God just, I just want to, what do you want to say to me? He said something to me about my workplace. He's talked to me about my kids. He's talked to me about my wife. And He's talked to me about this church. All in the matter of the last about 3 weeks, I've been giving Him more time than I've ever given Him before to listen. I read the Bible a lot and I pray a lot, but I have never been a great listener. God will speak to you. He will direct you. And so, in the word for guidance, in the prayer for guidance, and then this one, who has a spiritual mentor? This is somebody that you can go to when you have a problem that you have faith in, that is a man or woman of God that you know will not steer you in the wrong direction. And that doesn't mean that they're your new God. God is your guide. But God puts mentors in place to guide us. I want to read. This is the 17th century, so you'll get it's an old read, but listen to this. What the book, this is actually, the book was written in 1978, so they call it spiritual director. We nowadays would call that mentor, someone in your life. Whether maybe you have a mechanical mentor, maybe you have a mentor, a cook, maybe but you have someone in your life that in an area, you go to them in that area because you know of all their experience. Not to embarrass, but right here is a man of God, Fred Frederick Gill. He is a mentor of mine. of how to know how to handle yourself at work. Complete humility, one of the smartest men I know, but I go to him, I've gone to him for years in the area of, hey, what do I do in this situation mechanically, but also just humility. There's people that God will put in your lives that you go to. And if we don't have a spiritual mentor, if we don't have someone that we can sit there and say, hey, I'm going through something hard here, and I'm getting a lot of voices in my head, what do I do? Listen to this. What is the purpose of a spiritual director? The 17th century Benedictine mystic Dom Augustine Baker writes this. In a word, a mentor is God's usher and must lead souls in God's way and not their own. His direction is simply and clearly to lead us to our real director. He is the means of God to open the path to inward teaching of the Holy Spirit. And that word Holy Spirit is extremely important because mentors, you can have great people, very intelligent, very knowledgeable people. If they're not born again Christians, they're not being guided by the Holy Spirit. If someone comes to me and says, man, I have a problem, I don't usually whip out a bunch of answers. It's like, well, let's pray. Let's seek God on this. But to have someone who can help direct you, that has an understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit and has your best intentions in mind, that's important, so important. And I probably spend the most time on that simply because that's probably where we all may fail the most of not having that spiritual mentor in place to really help and guide us. And so that person, you may be thinking, okay, Matt, you, hey, if you want to use me, I will do the best I can for you. But who, think about this, pray about it. Who can you go to that could give you advice that God, or guidance and direction, where you know that, man, what you say is going to line up, wrong book, with what this says. Because if you get another mentor, and there's a lot of people in this world that, man, you are so knowledge, you know so much. I mean, and people, so many people are held so high esteem, but they don't align with this. Because we back up to the main guide, as our psalmist said in Psalms 119, if it doesn't align to this, psalmist said, man, I have more wisdom than my teachers, more understanding than my elders, because they were aligning their lives to the obedience of the word. Some people have gotten so intelligent that they'll speak against the word because of their great knowledge. And that is a complete breakaway from the reality of truth. So listen to this. Are we allowing the Lord to guide and direct our steps through the truth of his word and prayer and the guidance of spiritual mentors? If in your life you said no to any of those, don't be depressed. Let's course correct. Let's get ourselves in the Word of God. If you're struggling with understanding or its thickness, or you know, maybe you start off in a book that just, don't start off in Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations is fantastic if you understand it and there's a place for it. Don't start there. That I'm being funny, but that's my point. This can be a confusing book. If you're like me, I open instructions. I'm mechanical minded. So I open instructions. 9 times out of 10, if they're real wordy, I set them aside and I look at it and I try to figure the thing out because my mind doesn't want to try and understand all the words. It just wants to look at the problem and figure it out. But we have to come to an understanding. We have to put in the effort and the work to understand the Word of God. Get help from your spiritual mentor. But then go into prayer and solitude and just wait on God and listen. Don't try it for a day or a week. Try it for about a year and come back to me and tell me if it works or not. Form a habit of waiting on God and then find a person that you can trust that can just help you. You don't call them every day of your life. Yeah, I don't know. I got a red shirt and a white shirt. I just don't know what to do. Which one should I wear? That's not what we're talking about. You're going through life and you're getting ready to make a decision about like buying that car with it will be great if you just change the transmission fluid, but you don't know. Maybe it's someone and you're getting ready to date someone. And you're like, hey, she's this or he's this and this and that and that. And your mentor can say, okay, but let's look at a little bit deeper here. What's their faith? What's their habits? Have you watched them around other people? How do they treat other people? How do they treat their parents? So let's just get a good look here. Because, yeah, they're a knockout and they're gorgeous and they give you the butterflies, but let's look a little bit deeper before you step into something that you might regret. That's what a guide can do for us. So one more time, are we allowing the Lord to guide and direct our steps through truth in His Word and prayer and the guidance of spiritual mentors? So Father, right now we just lay this before You. You don't give us ideas without answers. You don't give us questions without answers. Right now, Father, I pray that I know most of us or all of us can have the opportunity to buy ourselves the Bible and to give ourselves time to pray. So I pray that whether the desire is there or not, we will just do that, to walk in obedience. All because, God, we just want to hit the target. You have called us to a world that is described to You as a blink of an eye on this earth. We don't, help us not to want to live for the blink. Help us to look deeper. What's our target? May our target be spreading the good news. May our target be living life for Jesus, directing people towards Jesus. And dear God, to hit that target, help us to be in Your Word, understanding it, taking the necessary steps to comprehending it, and then applying it to our lives and watching its truth work out. Help us to wait on You, talk to You, but then to listen. And God, maybe the big one, help us to find someone who we can just trust to give us great direction and who really cares for us. And we find that person. And when we put those three together, and we're going to hit that target. We're going to hit that target. Your Word does not return void. Your promises are not broken. So God, I pray that over every one of us now. May we search those three things out, knowing that You have now prepared our lives to be so useful and so purposeful and so full of Your will that we are focused in on hitting that target of spreading the good news. Then, God, I think we're going to see a plethora of things come our way that we haven't seen before. The happiness and the joy and the contentment that we all just desire so much, I think is found in You. I don't think it's found in us. Through Your Word, through prayer, through just a Christian mentor. Dear God, help us grab a hold of this, apply it to our lives, and then blow our minds as You show us what it looks like to be a true disciple and living for You. Thank You, dear God, for this word. I pray now that as we go, we will just work on applying it to our lives. Take it outside of these walls and watch You do Your thing through us. We pray all this in Your name. Everyone says, amen. Amen.